thank you for making a real difference for your public radio station. One of the delights of my work and travels over the years is getting to know people in many different countries and learning how they do things in their societies that can sometimes be quite different from how we've always done it at home, where I live here in the United States. A couple years ago, I invited some German tour guiding friends to join us at Travel with Rick Steves to talk over some of the differences they've noticed between the U.S. and back home in Germany. As guides, they're all well-versed in navigating different cultures. Our guests are Holger Zimmer. He's raising a family in Berlin and also works as an arts producer for public radio there. Daniela Wedel was raised in Munich and now operates a photography practice and studio where she now lives in southern France. And Fabian Ruger was raised in West Germany and has been living with his American wife in Maine for a number of years now. It's where he's developed a travel packing app called Packupine. He'll be showing Americans around his home country when we all get to travel again.
I just wanted to add just quickly that, because I think for the listener it's not obvious what age we are. So we are all in our 40s, us three here. So when we talk about...
So you guys were born...
Thank you.
You guys were born...
Are you not?
That's good.
So you guys were born...
I'm 70s.
So that is... What is the name of that generation? Is there... What do you call yourself?
Oh, I don't know if I have...
Golf.
Don't have
the
generation.
The generation Golf. Because after the Volkswagen car that came out in the
The GTI. Yeah,
they call it the Generation Golf in Germany.
Really?
The Golf got into high school as the Golf came out.
Yeah.
As the Golf came out, the Volkswagen was that big a deal.
Well, it was cool to have the successor to the Beetle, of course.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with the Golf generation here about what happened after the Beetle.
Not playing golf.
No, the Golf, the great new post-Beetle V-dub. And speaking of that, when you, I'm just thinking what Germans can give us a little advice. How about driving? I always think Germans love driving. You guys have all driven around the United States. Daniela, you're just on a road trip. Mm. What's it like for a German driving in the United States?
Different.
How's it different?
The biggest difference is probably that on the highways, people drive past on the left and on the right, and carpool lanes we don't have in Germany. Yeah. I always love the idea also that in the United States, the idea of the Autobahn. The Autobahn is this mystical, fantastic streetway, roadway you can drive on as fast as you can. You cannot in Germany anymore. Most of the time, there's a speed limit too.
Oh.
But nevertheless, I find it very dangerous in the US on the highways because people do actually really pass a lot on the right side and on the left side and everywhere. In Germany and in Europe in general, there is more discipline. Even in Italy,
more discipline.
More discipline to pass on the left and to
I have the feeling like, you know, we do drive fast and you have these really fast cars when they can.
But we drive good.
But I always have the feeling in America, people are much more slow.
Absolutely, you're right.
They take it more easy. And that's why I feel more secure here.
But I find that is, for example, also it's on the smaller streets or in the city.
Yeah.
That's where people stop already. I don't know how many feet before a stop sign when there's even... And you
it's
wonder
less
why...
less aggressive
in
America.
Or it's just...
If you're in Europe as an American, you'll stop when you see a person who wants to cross the street.
Yeah.
And I think the Europeans kind of go, why do you do that? You just drive right through.
Yeah.
And also, if you're cruising in the United States on the freeway, you don't have somebody, what we say, going right up your tailpipe. But in Germany, if you're cruising in the left lane, you're in trouble in a hurry.
But here also, as far as I understand, is when you honk, that's really something bad.
Yeah,
I mean, it's really something very aggressive. Yeah. At home, it's not really so. I mean,
you honk more readily.
It depends. Yeah.
Even though you're not supposed to.
Right? Yeah, but...
Okay, well, you're great drivers, and you have a chance to experience the great road trip in America, and you can see the different style of driving. How about beer? Because Germany is really proud of its beer heritage. When you come to the United States or when Americans go to Germany, what can you teach Americans about beer culture?
I don't know about teaching, but I would really say, again, that's something... If I go around the place and I come back and I know what I like and I know what I, you know, what my heritage is in a way. And to me, you know, you have all these new microbrews and everything and the IPAs and stuff. Just my personal thing is not so much the hobby business here. That's too kind of bitter for me. And I like a good Pilsner because it takes a lot more time to make it. And then you have this craze about microbrews everywhere. Microbrews in America is like, wow, we have all these, we invented beer. And I think, wait a minute, we had microbrews like 1,000 years ago and we just called them monasteries. And that was it, you know.
And, they make good beer.
That is so true. A monastery would be
a microbrew.
Yeah, that's where the good beer came from back in the day. Yeah, but it's a taste thing, right?
It is fair to say that over the last 40 20 years, most of the small breweries in Germany were bought up by the big brewers. And so you had a market concentration similar to what happened in the United States. And the microbrewing movement now came out of the United States and back to Germany. So we got a little bit of a ping pong of beer culture here where you know, one influences and helps the other, if you will. Mm-hmm.
What's the approach to alcohol and parenting in Germany? Because I was very impressed by how parents actually teach their children to appreciate beer. And there's kind of a learning beer, like a near beer that children drink with the family and so on. Daniela, is that?
Well, I grew up in a beer garden in Munich. Uh-huh. And so I was just sitting and I could already stick my finger into the foam of the beer. It worked out well, I found. No, but you're absolutely right. It's a very individual decision of the parents. So, and it's not frowned upon, I think, if a family is in a restaurant and, I don't know, there's a child that is 14 years old and tries, I mean, I'm not saying that they order beer for their child, but tries a sip of beer because it wants to, or he or she wants to. And so that's fine for the other people. And therefore, parents, yes, are rather maybe being a part of, well, you have your first sip of beer, I'm rather there with you, and so it's out of your system.
Right.
And I think for a lot of children it works, and in, I think in other countries it's the wine, and in Germany it's beer.
And Fabian, having said that, there's a very strict respect for drinking and driving in Germany.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you know, it used to be less frowned upon, to be fair, in the 70s, I think, but generally that has changed. And if you can't hold your alcohol, it's totally clear you shouldn't drive.
Right. I even saw a breathalyzer machine at the beer hall in Undex where people could breathe into it, and it measures if they're able to drive.
Mm. And, you know, to add to the children issue with, if you're in the presence of your parents in a restaurant or a beer garden and your parents order a beer for you, that's legal.
Mm-hmm. Oh, because you have your parents
with you. Because you have your parents with you. They ordered for you. They're taking responsibility for this.
I didn't realize that.
So it's not illegal in the presence of the parents. However, having said that, you would be socially frowned upon. Let's say you're 4 years old and your parents order you a schnapps. That's
not
okay.
Parenting.
And
it's not going to happen.
Surely the waiter will, you know, give you an earful.
Right.
But if you're 12 and the father says to the waiter or the mother, you know, the boy would like to have a small beer to try, the waiter will say, sure, no problem. And nobody would make a fuss about it.
I didn't realize that after all the traveling I've done, that would be, there might be an illegal age for drinking beer, but if you're with your parents, it's different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, Holger, you're traveling around the United States and eating American breakfasts. When you get back to Germany, what are you thankful for when it comes to breakfast time?
I'm looking forward to a really good dark bread. I mean, that's really what I miss when abroad. But also, I also like the cereal. I mean, your cereal culture is here as well. You know, the Swiss invented the muesli business, but it's spread across. And that's something I really like too, you know.
Dark bread. I know
bread.
What you mean.
Rye.
There's some kind of bread in Germany. And the dark
rye bread.
The rye bread. It's very difficult to get in the States.
Because you live in the States.
Having lived in for 8-9 years in Maine now, there are a couple of nice bakeries there, but I have to drive on a Sunday morning to this one bakery that does this particular German dark bread, and it's sold out usually within half an hour. So if I'm not there at 8:30 in the morning on a Sunday, I won't get that bread.
A German desperate for dark bread Sunday morning, driving all over. Daniela, Holger, Fabian, thank you so much for sharing and joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having us.
It's fun to make friends with people from all sorts of backgrounds, isn't it? I'm glad you can be with us as we check in with tour guides and authors, adventurers, and all kinds of fellow travelers. We really do learn a lot from their perspectives on Travel with Rick Steves. We're on public radio because this is the place on the dial that assumes you have an attention span. Public radio respects your intelligence. We bring you programming that's not driven by a need to keep advertisers happy, but by a passion for bringing you a better understanding of our world, as complicated, fragile, and beautiful as it is. As we go through some of the biggest challenges of our lives together, in so many ways, this is your radio home. And now I'm asking you to personally do what you can to help support it. Your financial contribution keeps the work of public radio strong in your community all year long. Please contribute right now during this special fundraising edition of Travel with Rick Steves. That way, every time you listen, you'll know that we are indeed travel partners in supporting public radio. If you haven't had a chance to do your part already, please give us a call right now or go to the station website to make a secure contribution. Public radio is more important than ever, and it just can't happen without your financial support.